Welcome back to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBIR 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. For the second segment, I am joined in studio by Laura Miller from the Calumet Theater, here to talk about many things that are going on at the theater. Thank you, Laura, for joining me today.
Yeah, good morning, Sam.
Give us a little background about the Calumet Theater and its significance to the Copper Country.
Well, you know, the Calumet Theater is going to be 115 years old, March 2015. And this theater has been around for the community in all aspects, as a gathering place for social activities, for great entertainers that have come through the door. I mean, if you can imagine when this place opened in 1900, it had electricity and running water, all of the great things that you would imagine in any big city theater. It was rated as one of the most magnificent east of the Mississippi. And the color scheme and the proscenium arch and just the way it was built, it was just a magnificent building in itself. And it's been around for all these years and has been completely restored. And it still serves the same function that it did then, which is hard to believe. You know, the theater is a heritage site in the Keweenaw National Historic Park, and it's really the only one that still serves its original function, you know, entertaining people for over 100 years.
And not only entertainment for nowadays, but there's just so many other programs that it's being used for. Was it still having the community programs back then as well?
Yes. If you look back at our archives, the meetings that took place, I mean, women's suffrage and all kinds of different things. You know, when the 1913 strike came through, there were a lot of different meetings regarding, you know, that turmoil. So it's been a meeting place for the community for a number of years. We still have different meetings that take place in the ballroom, a lot of renters that come up there and do different things as well. So it's used all year round for so many different things, not just entertainment, as you pointed out.
In terms of on the entertainment side back then, how big of a quote-unquote hot spot was it for people to go on a night to go see a show?
Well, if you can imagine, and it's hard to imagine, I'd love to just take a week in time and go back to 1900. The Calumet area had over 30,000 people within walking distance of the Calumet Theater in those days. And of course, now Houlton County only has a little bit more than 30,000 in the whole county. You know, you had streetcars, you had, you know, your horse-drawn carriages, people coming to the theater dressed to kill. I mean, you see pictures of these people lined up outside of the theater, and the men had their top hats on with their long coats, and the ladies were all dressed up. A very, very glamorous time for the theater. You had big names like Sarah Bernhardt and, you know, Frank Sullivan. John Philip Sousa's band was there four different times in the first, you know, decade of its existence, and you know, just big names coming through, you know, month after month. So it's an incredible thing to think about, the Calumet Theater being such a huge performing arts center in the day.
Now, for a structure to be still there for so long, you have to talk about wear and tear. Historically, the issues that we'll definitely be hitting on, the issues that are going on with the theater now, were they experienced back then as well?
You know, I wouldn't think so, because, you know, this is a sandstone building, and so sandstone is going to be deteriorating over the course of time just because of the weather itself. And I doubt if in the beginning of time they had that problem and they didn't even think about the problem, you know, as all sandstone buildings when they were built. And things like plumbing, you know, and furnace and roofs and things of that nature, I'm sure in the first couple of decades, those things didn't really have to be worried about. Of course, as time goes on, everything wears out, and that's exactly what's been happening. You know, 115-year-old building needs continual maintenance now.
Let's just jump right into it and start off with, I mean, I don't want to put more emphasis on one or the other, but the stage roof. I did do a story for ABC 10, and you gave me a tour of some of the spots. And the stage roof You told me a funny story about how the performers would be, you know, practicing, and there'd just be buckets all over the place. Was there? I think there was an incident involving Arlo Guthrie.
Yes, the stage roof has had leaked for about 10 years, and of course it sprung new leaks every spring when the snow melt came about, and during severe rainstorms, we'd always notice, uh-oh, there's another leak. We'd had buckets on the catwalk, tarps above the proscenium arch, trying to divert the water so that it wouldn't hit the stage floor. But unfortunately, it would hit the stage floor from time to time. You know how water, when it comes through a roof, Sam, follows a beam, and all of a sudden it's dripping down somewhere, and you really don't know where the origin of the hole in the roof even is. So we had Arlo Guthrie up there this year, and this was in May. So here he was, sitting there, getting ready to rehearse, sound check going on, and with his son behind him and other band members, and he was sitting there with his guitar doing his acoustic thing that he does, and he thought maybe his son was messing around with him because he felt something on his head. And he looked around at his son, kind of gave him a dirty look, and thought, well, I don't know what the heck's going on here, but it's kind of getting me off kilter here. And so then, of course, finally, technical director said, well, what's going on? And he said, well, I don't know. It seems like, you know, something's wet or something. And, of course, unfortunately, here we had sprung a new leak, and it was dripping on Arlo. So poor Arlo had to, you know, he's very fond of the Calumet Theater with his background and the Italian Hall with his father, Woody, and the song. And he's been there many times, and he knows we're a 501c3 and struggling to always make ends meet. And he just went right with it. He said, well, I'll just have to move off of my spot. You know, the stage plot, we'll just have to throw that out the window and we'll just move over. And so he did, and of course we went and got a towel and found where that drip was coming down and followed up to the catwalk and covered that up. But it was embarrassing. You know, you've got a big name like Arlo. Thankfully, he took it in stride and went right with us. But we've had other circumstances like that, too, where, you know, you got everything all set up for your artist to do their sound check, and all of a sudden you hear a dink, 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 and it's hitting a drum top, and you got to move your people around a little bit, or you got to run up there and put a bucket up on that catwalk. And so our embarrassing moments, we believe, are now over, because that new stage roof was completed a couple of weeks ago, and it's a 20-year guarantee membraned roof. And so we are hoping for the next 20 years we're never going to have to worry about that again.
And another project was the furnace, and what exactly was the issue to begin with the furnace? Is it just was not working anymore?
Well, you know, that was a sad thing. The Calumet Theater Company actually bought a new furnace for their side of the building back in 1999. So less than 16 years later, all of a sudden our water was kind of running out of the bottom of the furnace, and we thought, oh my gosh, what's going on? And at first we just thought it was the overflow valve. And the more we got looking at it, the more we realized, oh my gosh, one of the local heating and plumbing firms came in and found out that unfortunately the boiler had several cracks in it. And it was to the point where it was going to die on us any minute. So we had to make the decision as the theater company to replace that furnace. That was early spring of this year, and we already had 8 shows booked. Arlo's was one of them. We had over $20,000 worth of tickets already sold, and it was one of these deals where, gosh, if we don't get a new furnace in there, and of course our heating season went until June this year, so we could not be without a heating system, and so we had to bite the bullet and contact RC Mechanical, was the one that came in with the best bid. And they had to put a new furnace in there for us, which was installed in April and in between shows. And we were able to have everything up and running, you know, for the rest of the spring and early summer season. But it was a huge financial burden for us. Fortunately, we had planned accordingly. We have a historic preservation fee that extra 50 cents to $1.50 that we have placed on our tickets for about 4 years now. And that historic preservation fee helps to preserve the history and the uniqueness of the building. We often use it for archival displays and for archival supplies, but we can use it for the historic building as well. And this particular historic preservation fee, we had set that money aside as the match money for the stage roof, because I had just finished writing a grant in collaboration with Calumet Village to the National Park Advisory Commission and had just submitted that particular grant in which we were asking for $12,500, and we were going to match it with our $12,500 from our historic preservation fee money. And I had just submitted that, and within a week later, our furnace is down.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, my goodness. And so we ended up using our historic preservation fee money as a down payment on the furnace. And so, of course, that left us short for our roof match, not knowing if we were going to get the grant at that moment. So, you know, part of you thought, well, if we don't get the grant, we don't have to worry about it. But we were fortunate to get the grant, and so now we're worried about it. We've had some very generous individuals give us specific donations for the roof, so we've got a few thousand dollars that we can put toward that match, but we still need to finish that match. And we're hoping our grand raffle will do that for us and also pay off that furnace.
And we'll definitely be hitting on the grand raffle later on in the program. But I did want to ask, there was another really big one that, I mean, we were going through hallways through that tour, and with leaks comes water damage. And some of those spots, I mean, there was paint coming off and just deterioration. I mean, how you were telling me about how difficult it is to repair some of those.
Well, of course, you know, the ceilings are very high. You know, you've got a three-story building there with an open auditorium, so it is difficult to get to a lot of the water-damaged areas. Before the stage roof problem, we had an auditorium roof problem. And about 5 years ago, the village was able to come up with a little bit of extra money, and they put a nice-sized patch over the auditorium. But between the stage roof and the auditorium, we have, well, we're guessing at least $30,000 worth of water damage, and water that just kept coming through the roof, peeling off the plaster, and you were able to see that. There's a lot of areas behind the scenes that our patrons are not aware of that are in sad shape, and we hopefully will one of these days be able to improve that area too now that we've stopped all the leaking going on. But yes, you know, when you've got a leaking roof and it's gone on for many, many years, it causes a lot of damage.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest Laura Miller from the Calumet Theater. Let's get into the funding, and specifically if we could talk about the relationship between the Calumet Theater and the Village of Calumet.
Well, the Calumet Theater Company is actually a tenant in the building owned by the Village of Calumet, and we have an annual lease with them. But because the village is a very poor village, they're not able to provide a lot of necessary improvements that help the theater company. You know, we share the building, and so the Calumet Theater does what it has to do, you know, to make the necessary improvements. We're the ones that come up with the fundraising activities to make it possible to accomplish some of the building improvements. And again, because we share the building with the village, you know, we feel we work in cooperation with them. They help us as often as they can, but unfortunately, the village has a very small tax base. And that's a real dilemma for the Calumet Theater Company, because our annual budget really is not made to do large improvements to the building. And that's why some of these fundraising activities are a necessity for us, so that we can help maintain that building. You know, our normal budget, sure, we can fix a broken door handle or, you know, broken chairs or something like that. We can absorb that. But, you know, to put something in our budget to replace a new furnace or to replace a stage roof, we just don't have that type of income. Our performances are usually a break even. We have to keep our ticket prices low to try to get people from the community to be able to enjoy the events. And so ticketing actually just covers the performance price. We don't try to put that high ticket price on there. When you think of the ticket price out there, Sam, for you know, the shows, it just pays the cost of the performance. You know, the performer fee, we have to provide, you know, housing for them, meals for them, sometimes transportation. It adds up to a lot of money. We don't have our own sound system, so we have to hire companies to come in to do the sound. And so all of that money goes toward just the cost of the performance. So, again, our annual budget can't provide for all these extra huge building improvements, and so that's why fundraising is so important for us.
How important is membership when it comes to getting the funds necessary?
Well, membership, I'm going to say, is truly the lifeblood of the Calumet Theater. Membership provides our everyday expenses. You know, the membership is what provides us the income to buy our computers and our supplies and employs our staff. It pays for the marketing of these entertainers. You know, our normal budget supports youth performances like the Calumet High School plays. It provides us the cash flow to do these sort of things. Our normal budget through membership, you know, also helps to enhance tours, you know, of the Calumet Theater as well. So membership truly provides cash flow that keeps us alive. And we're very fortunate we have over 600 members between individuals and businesses. And without those membership dollars coming in on a monthly basis, the theater would not be able to survive.
In terms of donations, how have they been increasing for the last couple of years? What is the status on people who just come and give donations?
Well, I think it has been increasing over the last couple of years just because people see the urgent need. You know, they were aware of our leaking stage roof for the last 10 years, so people have given us nice donations to help out meeting that grant match. And when people learned that our furnace went down, we had several individuals that gave us some donations to help with the cost of that new furnace as well, which has helped us pay down, you know, the $20,000 new furnace. And, of course, with that new furnace also came new piping. You know, you've got piping in that building that's, you know, 50 to 75 years old. You put a new furnace in, and then, we've got much more pressure, mm-hmm. and the pipes leak even more. So we've also had to put some more piping in there, new traps and whatnot for the system, and that's costing, you know, additional thousands of dollars as well. I think people, as they've seen our need, have been giving more donations. Of course, and we also have an elevator campaign going, too. A lot of people are donating to that. So many people would love to be able to get up to that ballroom and to that first balcony, and that elevator can provide the ways and means to do that. So we've had, well, over $45,000 worth of donations in the last year and a half for our elevator project. So I do think that people are donating more frequently, and I think a lot of it is just because they see the need that we have.
Let's get into the big fundraiser that's going to be coming up, the Grand Raffle. So specifically, what is the Grand Raffle, and what is it being? It is being used specifically to raise funds for some of these repairs.
Yes, this year's Grand Raffle, the proceeds will be used to help pay off our new furnace and also to come up with that match money for the stage roof payoff as well. And the Grand Raffle started, this is our fourth year, it started 4 years ago when our chairman of the board came up with this idea that, hey, here's a way to get some money that's not in our budget that we thought people would have fun doing. And in fact, I think people did have fun doing it the first and have still having fun. First 2 years, the tickets sold out, and so we were able to give away $20,000 first place. And, you know, overall, if you sell out all the tickets, we're talking $34,000 that goes back to the community. And the theater only nets $15,000 of that. We use $1,000 toward advertising of this activity as well. But the basic premise of this whole thing was to have cash flow coming into the theater so that we could do some of these building improvements. And it's certainly coming in handy over the course of years. We refurbished the front doors. We've put in six new toilets, things that would not normally be in our budget we're using for. You know, we've got a new computer system in the box office. We're going to be going into the online ticketing come spring of this year, all from Grand Raffle money because we would not have been able to do this through our regular budget. But we came up with, you know, the $50 ticket and with only $1,000 tickets to sell. Great odds for this grand raffle, and we're just hoping that we can sell out this year to give out the whole $34,000 again.
What's the status so far right now in terms of, a round number of how many are left of the tickets?
Well, we've got a long way to go still. And, of course, we've got 11 outlets, and we're not quite sure what all 11 outlets have already sold in the way of their tickets. Mm-hmm. We only know what's come through basically the Calumet Theater. And so we're over the halfway point, but we really want to get to that 100% level.
In terms of the outlets, so you said there's 11 outlets. Are there any other ways people can get the tickets?
Well, of course, you can always call the Calumet Theater, and we're always helpful there. But one of the things that's important to know this time of the year, the Calumet Theater has reduced hours. So we're only there Wednesday through Friday, and then Saturday if it happens to be show day. So that's one of the reasons why we've got so many businesses that are supportive of helping us sell these raffle tickets. And these businesses are open, you know, all different hours of the day beyond the theater's normal hours. And so some of these outlets,
you can go ahead and list them off, and we'll put some of them on our website. What are some of the businesses that are involved?
Okay, great. The 11 that we have in Calumet, we have Ace Hardware, The American Inn, L&L Bar, Newman Appliance, and River Valley Bank. In Lorium, we have Miller's Lanes. In Hancock, we have Nutini Supper Club, Keweenaw Tax and Accounting Services. And in Holton, we have Nicholas Insurance Agency, Pizza Works, and River Valley Bank. So the outlets are located everywhere. So if you can't get a hold of us at the Calumet Theater, please check one of those outlets.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest, Laura Miller from the Calumet Theater. I really don't want to get into worst case scenarios, but I do want to mention in terms of funding, in terms of repairs and stuff like that, could there ever be a situation where the Calumet Theater might have to close its doors?
Well, we would hope it would never get to that. The theater company works very, very hard to keep this place open. I write grants continually. Fortunately, last year, or 2014, I'm thinking last year because our fiscal year just finished on September 30th. So when I say last year, I'm thinking of last fiscal year. But our last fiscal year was our best year in the way of fundraising and grant income. We had over $100,000 worth of mainly grant income. I do a lot of grant writing, spend a lot of time researching, and we're hoping that grant money doesn't dry up too much. And if we're successful with continually to write grants and with our membership increasing, we'll be able to keep those doors open forever, we hope.
So let's get into the upcoming shows. In terms of holiday season, just around the corner, what kind of shows are going to be available at the Calumet Theater?
You know, we'd like to hope that people will come out during the month of December to enjoy at least one of the holiday programs, because I think it really helps people get into the spirit of giving and just feeling good about, mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing. Of course, we can start off with Johnny Cash tribute, and I don't even want to call this a tribute. This Terry Lee Goffey, he is Johnny Cash in my mind. You watch this guy on YouTube videos, check our website, and it'll go right to one of his YouTube videos. And this guy looks like Johnny. He sounds like him. He moves like him. One of the things that really impressed us was back in June of 2003, he actually took his tribute to Nashville, and he did two performances. And Johnny Cash's brother Tommy and his sister Joanne were at this particular performance with Terry Lee. And afterwards, they gave him so many compliments. They felt that, you know, he did a wonderful show. They endorsed him wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you can have the Cash family, who I've always thought was very protective of Johnny Cash's image, saying something like that to
giving this, their, almost giving their blessing.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So we were very, very impressed with him when we saw the promotional videos. And happened to have the opportunity for him to come our way. So we're really looking forward to that, and that's on December the 5th. One of the really lovely things to get you in the mood of the season, the Calumet High School Band and Choir Holiday Concert is coming up on December the 10th at 7:30, and they do this for free. You know, these kids work hard, and Scott Veenstra, the band director over at Calumet High, will be there, and they're going to be just bringing in the sounds of the season on the theater stage. Very, very nice evening. And following that, the Calumet High School Senior Class Play, which takes place in December of every year. And this year they're doing A Christmas Story. So something very traditional. I don't know if you remember that story.
I think everybody remembers A Christmas Story.
Ralphie that wants his little rifle, and and that's coming up on December 20th and 21st. So we're hoping that people will come out and enjoy one of those activities at the Calumet Theater. The other thing that we've got is Club Indigo. I don't want to miss that either. Mm-hmm. Club Indigo is on December the 12th, and The Bishop's Wife is the story that's going to be here for that one. And that's a great story, too. Cary Grant is the angel that comes down to help the bishop and his wife and gets kind of wrapped up in all the financial and family stress of the holiday season. And Victoria's Kitchen of Holton is going to be putting on that Christmas time buffet. So we're looking forward to that, too. Different things to get you into that holiday spirit.
Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Laura Miller for joining me on today's program. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at keweenawreport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.